Genesis chapter 46. You know, in your lifetime, you will make several major decisions. When I talk about major decisions, I'm talking about choosing a spouse, changing jobs, purchasing a house, moving to another area. Any of those kind of big things that take place in life. Most all of us will go through that. Many of us have gone through several of those already. And when we face a major move like that, many times we don't know exactly what to do. And we need guidance. We need help. And as we look at this chapter tonight, Jacob and his family made a major move. And I hope by the time I'm done explaining it to you and kind of bringing it out into a real-life situation, that you will see this was not a small little move. This was a major, major move. And they needed guidance, and we'll see several things that Jacob and his family did that can be of help to us. All right, so notice, first of all, that Jacob prayed. We see in verse number 1, it says, "In Israel," speaking of Jacob, "Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his the God of his father Isaac." All right, so he traveled down to Beersheba. Now, I should have put my map up here. Let me draw you a little map so you can all kind of get oriented. All right, so got Israel here, got Egypt down here. All right, Dead Sea, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee. All right, now Hebron is about in here. And down here is Beersheba. All right, now, Jacob and his family lived in Hebron, in the area around Hebron. And that's where they were. And Jacob journeyed, he began his journey, and he traveled down to Beersheba. It was a 40-kilometer trip. All right, so he made a 40-kilometer trip down to Beersheba. And when he got to Beersheba, he stopped, and he spent some time praying. And that's a significant thing. Now, when we stop and think about this, at the close of the last chapter, we find that Jacob was very emotionally charged. When we make decisions when we're emotional, sometimes we make the wrong decisions. We need to be very careful. You know, if the time comes that you lose your spouse, that's one of the worst times for a person to make major decisions, because they're very distraught. They've lost their spouse. And some evil people in our world take advantage, especially of little widows that just lost their husband and they're all emotionally charged, and they get them to do foolish things that they regret. We need to be very careful. It's not just in those kind of times, but we see in the last verse of chapter 46, it says, "And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is alive, and is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." So he's all excited. He just found out, my son Joseph, I thought he was dead 22 years ago, and he is still alive, and I'm going to go see him. And this old man, Jacob, he says, I'm going to go see my son. He's all excited. So they get everything ready, and they start their journey, and they travel from Hebron down to Beersheba, 40 kilometers, and he stops there. Now, this was no little thing here. He stopped. He knew the promises of God. And you stop and think about this. I'm sure that on that journey, they're traveling down there during those 40 kilometers. Jacob's thinking, you know, this was a big thing. What had God promised to his grandfather, Abraham? I'm going to give you this land. What did he promise to his father, Isaac? I'm going to give you this land. And now they're leaving the land. And he's thinking, is this the right thing to do? Should we really be leaving? Is this right or is this wrong? And those were good questions that were going through his mind. And he was afraid. We see in verse number 2, "And then God spake unto Israel in a vision that night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am the God of your father. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation." Now, God specifically said, do not fear. Why? Because God knew he was afraid. Jacob's thinking, I'm leaving the promised land. I'm leaving the land that God told us to go stay at. He's going to give us this place and I'm leaving. And he was afraid he was going to make the wrong decision. And you know, sometimes when we're facing those big decisions in life, choosing a spouse, buying a house, buying a car, buying, you know, something big, or making a move or changing jobs, those are major dramatic times in our lives. And we need to do as Jacob did. He spent time talking with God. Now, why Beersheba? Well, you think back, if you look back into the previous chapters, you're going to find out that there in Beersheba, Abraham built an altar. Years later, Isaac went back there, fixed up the altar and worshiped God again. Now Jacob comes down there, maybe he finds the same altar, I don't know. But he builds an altar and he worships God again. So all three of them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now have spent time worshiping God at Beersheba. And it was there that he's seeking God's mind at Beersheba to get information as to what he should do. And, you know, this thought, you know, he may have even known the promise that God had given Abraham, I believe it was, yeah, Abraham, in Genesis 15:13, where he said, there's going to be a time come, your descendants are going to be slaves, and they're going to be there for 400 years, and then I'm going to deliver them. And Jacob might have been thinking, what are we getting into? Are we going down there to become slaves? What's going to happen? And he'd heard all these horror stories from his boys of how, and even then, just before that, Joseph had kept Simeon in jail for the whole time that they were gone the first time, and now they're going back down there. What are we getting ourselves into? There's all these fears, all these trauma going over in his mind, and it's important for us to see this because it helps us to see when we're facing those big decisions in life, it is no small matter. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time with God. And fear drove Jacob to his knees, and that was good. That was important. And that night, as he was there on his knees before God, God spoke to him. Now, God in those olden days sometimes would come to them in visions or speak to them in dreams. God doesn't do that now. Why? Because we've got this book. We don't need that. We've got a whole 66-volume book right here that God tells us what he wants us to do. Our problem is we don't spend enough time reading and studying it. And we need to get into this book and it'll give us the direction and guidance we need. But Jacob didn't have that. And so God spoke to him that night and told him, don't be afraid. I will be with you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. You know, there's a very important principle for us here in Jacob's life. Jacob sought God's wisdom when he was afraid and uncertain what to do. And that is a very, very important thing for us to do. Rather than, you know, speaking to us in a vision, God's going to speak to us through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to give peace to us, to give direction, to give us insight. And as we study this book, God can direct our paths. You know, it's amazing. There are so many good verses that just really challenge your heart. You start reading in the Psalms, and you start reading in the Proverbs. There's a lot of verses there that are full of instruction for us. And they can be a great help to us in time like these, when we're going through difficult times. Notice next that Jacob did not move rashly. That's an important thing. When you're making a move, don't get in a rush. You know, many times, especially, you know, if you're buying something, you know, you go to a car dealer or something, they're always wanting you to buy right now. Sign in the line right now and I'll throw in an extra tire, you know, whatever. And, you know, they don't want you, quick, do it now, because we don't want you to wait because you might change your mind. And probably car dealers aren't as bad as some of the other vacuum cleaner dealers and all those kind of things that are trying to get you to buy all these things right now. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. And Jacob moved slowly as this. We see in verse number 5. Verse number 4 I don't think I read. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. That must have been a great comfort to Jacob. To hear God, you know, his brothers or his sons said Joseph's still alive. Now God says Joseph is alive, and Joseph's going to put his hands on you, and you're going to know that it's really Joseph that's down there. And then verse number 5, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and their in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. His sons and his sons' sons with him. His daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now, those short few verses only give us a teeny touch of what was taking place. And let me explain what I'm talking about here. They had a huge situation ahead of them. Jacob moved slowly. This was not going to happen fast. He had a large caravan, and I'll explain that in just a moment. It was not just a handful of little people running down there and they can travel quickly. It wasn't like when the 11 boys went down there by themselves. That was easy. Just grab your donkeys, jump on the back, and take off and move down there in 10, 15 days. And they're all, you know, they get their stuff, head back home. So in a couple weeks, they're all back home. It wasn't like that at all. Now, we must learn to wait on the Lord during different times like this. Waiting on God can be hard. And yet we find great scripture. Psalm 27:14 is a great verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Another great verse over in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to learn to wait on God, especially during those times of big decisions. Jacob's family traveled slowly from Beersheba down to Egypt. My map's a bit out of scale. That was 350 kilometers. It's a long way. That's a long way. And as they traveled, it was not easy. The old ones and the little ones got to ride in the wagons. Everybody else walked. And many of them were guiding their sheep and their goats and their cattle and their camels. The flocks needed pasture and water. How are you going to feed thousands upon thousands of animals going through a dry area after 3 years of famine and find pasture for them and find water for them? The whole time you're going to be hearing the cattle crying and the sheep bleating and the donkeys braying. Why? They're thirsty. They need water. They need something to eat. And so the men are constantly looking for pasture. They probably send out some of their servants. You ride ahead. Follow over this way. Look over those hills. See if there's anything for pasture over there. We've got to have something for these animals. They're going to die. We've got to have help. It was not a small matter. It was a big thing. They couldn't move fast because of all this. And they formed a huge caravan. As you read through the next section here, and I'm not going to take time to read through all the names here, but there's 67 males that were in that caravan of the direct sons and grandsons of Jacob. 67 of them. On top of that was all the wives. On top of that was all their little children that aren't even mentioned. And the daughters aren't mentioned. He mentioned here something about his daughters, but they're not mentioned in the count. And so there was hundreds of the family members and their wives and their little kids. Then on top of that, you think with me. When Abraham went out to protect Lot, remember Lot got captured by the enemy and Abraham armed his trained servants. How many servants went with him? 318. Abraham had 318 men servants. Now that doesn't count the women. And I'm sure that many of those 318 men probably had wives. They may have been servants too. They may have been his maidens. He probably had at least, my guess, if he had the same amount of women as he had men, he had at least 600 servants. Then Isaac, when you read about Isaac, it says the Lord blessed him abundantly more than Abraham. So he may have had thousands of servants. Jacob, when he went up to Haran and he came back down with a whole bunch of servants. A lot of servants. And they've been there in the land of Canaan now for many years. And as they're there in the land of Canaan, now all of the boys are married. They all have kids of their own. They all have countless servants of their own. They may have had thousands upon thousands. They may have had 2,000 or 3,000 of them all together. You start adding that all up, depending on how many servants each one of these guys had. I don't know. So this is not a small little caravan. You've got tens of thousands of sheep and cattle and animals of all of these men, because every one of them were shepherds, and all of them had a big flock of their own. And, you know, just thinking about the size of their flocks, just recently, Melody and I have been reading some of the earlier chapters of Genesis together, and Jacob, when he came back down from Haran, and he was getting ready to meet his brother Esau, he gave his brother 200 female sheep and 200 female goats, plus a whole bunch of other animals. 200! Well, that was like, oh, that's no big deal. I got lots more. He had thousands of those things. And that was just Jacob. And now all of his boys are married. So they've all got hundreds, maybe thousands of them. They could have had tens of thousands of sheep and cattle and animals and the donkeys and the camels and all these kind of things, plus all these people. It was a massive caravan that was going down there. It was no small matter. Important for us to see that as we move on. We're going to see why some of the other things that took place fit right into this, and it helps us to understand this. Now, traveling with that size of a huge group for 350 kilometers was not an easy journey, and it was not a fast journey. It took time. And if we are impatient people, and I confess I'm an impatient person, and if we're impatient, we can get really frustrated with things like this. Why can't we move it faster? Oh, let's get going. We need to, instead of fretting and fussing, we need to spend more time praying and trusting God and meditating on Scripture, saying, God, help us through this. Keep me calm. I'm going to keep trusting you. You know, we're talking about a major move, whatever that major move may be. And we need to trust the Lord and ask God to help us and guide us. And then that brings us to verse number 28. Jacob sought guidance from others. All right, verse number 28. In between here are all the names of the sons and the families and all their kids. And you can read all those names. But that doesn't really apply to what we're looking at here tonight. So let's look at verse 28. And he says, and he sent Judah. This is Jacob. Jacob sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. All right, now, very important thing here. They're getting near Egypt. All right, so they're heading down there. They're almost there. Goshen, if you look at Egypt, Goshen was right along this eastern side here, the northeastern side of Egypt in that area. But Goshen was quite a large area. It wasn't just a town. It was an area. And they were getting near there. And so Jacob sent Judah to go ahead and check with Joseph and find out where they were supposed to go. Now, think about that. Why Judah? Well, as you go back, and you'll see that Judah was the one that stood up as the leader. He was the one that spoke up to Joseph down in Egypt. When the pressure was on the height, Judah stood up and said, all right, let me have a talk. And he had the longest talk with Joseph of any of them regarding their situation. And he was the one that took the leadership. He was the one that told his dad, you know, I will be surety for Benjamin. I will make sure. Judah was standing up and being a leader. And obviously, he had leadership qualities, and he was trustworthy. And Jacob saw that. And so he sent out Judah and said, Judah, you go see Benjamin. Now, why would they need direction? Did they not know the way? Well, the boys had been there twice already. They found their way. They knew where they're going. But what's the difference? Before, there was only 11 of them going, and they knew exactly where they were going. And they went in there. They could just ride their donkeys right into the city and go right where they want. Can you imagine taking thousands of people and tens of thousands of animals? You can't go into the city like that. And so they had to know, well, what are we supposed to do? We're all down here now. Where are we supposed to go? And so he sent Judah ahead to speak with Benjamin. Sorry, I got all these names here. There's all these people. All right. Judah went ahead to speak with Joseph to find out where they're supposed to go. Verse number 29, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went to meet his, Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. All right, now, this, by Judah coming early and speaking with Joseph, it enabled Joseph then to find out that they were coming. They're almost there. I mean, he'd sent them away. He assumed they'd return. They were going to starve if they didn't. So he knew that they would. He'd sent all these wagons back with them. But remember what was one of the last things Joseph said to his brothers before they left? Don't fall out along the way. What was he saying? Don't you dare take all this stuff I gave you and just go hide and take off and never come back. You better bring my dad back after all that. All right? And so he didn't know when they were going to get there. Judah comes, says, we're coming. We're outside of town. We need to know where to go now. We got all of our caravan with us and all these animals and all these people. And we don't know where to go and what to do. Well, you come and show us what to do. And so Joseph then, he readies his chariot. And you just got to use a little bit of your imagination here. I mean, Joseph jumps in his chariot. And his chariot was, you know, the big fancy one of the of Egypt, you know, one of the best ones. He was a prime minister. And I can just see Joseph probably said, all right, Judah, you come, ride with me in the chariot. And Judah's thinking, whoa, riding that chariot, wow. And not only that, but what about Manasseh and Ephraim, his two boys? I mean, I know what boys are like. Boys are going to say, Dad, can we go too? We want to see Grandpa too. Can we go too? And maybe Joseph let Ephraim and Manasseh come along with him. I don't know. But they all got in the chariot. And I can just see Joseph telling the chariot driver, come on, boy, put it to him. Give him that whip and get it going. I want to go as fast as we can go. Take the shortest cut. I want you to get there as fast as we can. I've got to see my dad. I haven't seen him in 22 years. Come on, speed it up. Can't you get this thing to go any faster than that? Come on, let's go. And they're flying down there. The dust is flying. It's been dusty because there's no rain for 3 years. And it's a dusty ride, but they get there and the chariot barely squeaks to a halt. And Joseph jumps out and reaches out with his arms and presents himself to his dad. Here's Joseph dressed in his splendor, his kingly gowns. And he presents himself to dad and says, Dad, it's me! And they ran and they hugged each other and they kissed and they wept over each other for a long time. What a reunion. It was an exciting time. It was an exciting time. And as we see this, you know, there will be times along the way in our lives when we make those major moves in our lives that we're going to need guidance. Jacob needed guidance here. He said, where do we go? We don't know where to go. And he sent and got Joseph to come. And I'm sure even though God doesn't tell us any of those kind of details here, what did Joseph do next? Well, you read the next verse, and there's obviously things that he didn't tell us here. Verse number 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. Now, there were certain things that Joseph had to have done before all this took place. What was it? He needed, first of all, I'm sure he said to his servants, hey, servants, come on, go tell my brothers where they can find water for their animals. Tell them where they can find the best pasture lands. Show them where to go. And you servants over here, come on, you tell them where, tell all the women where they can set up their tents and get their tents set up. They had, every night during this caravan, for weeks and weeks that they were traveling, I don't know how long it would have taken them, 2-3 weeks to come down there, and every night they'd find a place to camp, some place that had a little bit of water, no doubt, and set up all the tents and herd in all the cattle. And all the shepherds would have to take turns watching over the sheep to make sure they're not wandering off at night and the wolves and the foxes and things weren't going to take out the sheep. And so they're watching over all this thing. It was a major, major drama. And now they're there, and Joseph would have had to tell them where to stay, what to do, where to go, until I can get the exact location where Pharaoh wants you. You just stay here for right now, and you know, you put your tents here. And he gave them all those kind of instructions. And then he said, I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh. I've got to go talk to Pharaoh. And that was a very good choice there. Jacob's family then followed
godly counsel. He followed Joseph's good counsel here. In verse number 31, Joseph said he was going to go talk to Pharaoh. Verse 32, and the men are shepherds, and their trade hath been to feed cattle. All right, now I skipped something here. I'll read verse 31 again. And Joseph said unto his brethren and to his father's house, I will go up and show myself unto Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, and their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Now, this verse for a long time when I was a boy troubled me. We never had sheep on our farm. We had cattle. And to me, cattle means moo. It doesn't mean bah. But the word cattle literally means domestic animals. All right? So it covers all of them. The sheep, the cows, the goats, and the camels, and the donkeys. All of them were the cattle. All right, and so he says, I'm going to go tell Pharaoh that you're shepherds. And he says to his brothers in verse 33, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say that thy servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. All right, now some commentators thought just like I did as a kid. And they say, well, look at, he's being deceitful here. He's telling them to say that they were cattle owners instead of shepherds because they don't like the shepherds. No, that's not what's happening at all. Because you see down in the next chapter, as you read on, we'll see next week, that they actually tell Pharaoh that they were shepherds, just like he told them to. He says, I'm going to go tell Pharaoh you're a shepherd, but you need to tell him you traded among the cattle because they don't like shepherds. And so it sounds like he's saying, be deceitful and tell Pharaoh you're something you're not. No, he wasn't doing that at all. He's saying, don't be ashamed of the fact that you're a shepherd. It's fine. It's okay. The Egyptians don't like shepherds. Now, the fact that they don't like shepherds didn't necessarily mean that they would all be mad at them or despise them. But there's a couple of ideas that one commentator put out that I think is worthy of our consideration. And that is that the Egyptians very well may have placed their women and their children as their shepherds. And the men went off and did other things of caring for the fields and things of that nature. And let the women and, you know, caring for the sheep as a women and children's job, not the men's job. And so to have these men say, we're shepherds. Oh, what are you, a bunch of sissies? You're taking care of the sheep? Now, that's one idea. Another thought may be that they disliked the nomadic life of the shepherds. You know, the shepherds were nomadic people. Where do you live? Well, it depends on where the sheep are. You know, I'm over here one day and over here the next day, and all right, sweetheart, pull up a tent. We're going to move over here. We're out of a paddock over here, so we're going over here for the next one. Can you imagine living that kind of a life? I mean, that's like going camping all the time, except moving every 2 weeks. That would be terrible. But that's the way they lived. And so they had a nomadic lifestyle. So it could be the Egyptians just didn't like that. You know, we're not going to be nomads. We got our own place. We got a house we stay in. We don't like this changing places and live in tents. So whatever it was, they didn't like the shepherds. But he says, don't be ashamed of that. Tell them what you are. And Pharaoh actually later said, Joseph, if there's any of your brothers that are very talented in taking care of the sheep, put them in charge of some of my sheep. So it's not like the Egyptians didn't have any sheep. It's just that they didn't look at that job as a dignified job. And so they didn't like the shepherds. Now, whenever we're making major decisions, it's wise to seek and accept counsel. Joseph gave them good counsel here. He says, you need to tell them what you are. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid of the fact that you're shepherds. Just tell it like it is. And we need to seek and follow good counsel. That's important. But you know, one of the things we need to be very careful about is finding good counsel. You know, sometimes a friend isn't necessarily the best counselor. Sometimes friends can lead us astray. especially if they don't want us to make the move we were going to make or whatever. And they may say things that would lead us in the wrong direction. We need to make sure we get good, wise counselors when we're going to seek counsel that, and we must be prudent in that choice of counselors. So, as we've looked at this section here, some great things for us. We've seen that if we're going to make a move, first thing we need to do is we need to stop and pray. Like Jacob, we need to spend time praying, make sure that God gives us peace. Don't move rashly. Take your time. It's going to work out. God's in control. Be patient. We need to seek good guidance from others. They sought the guidance of Joseph to show them where to go and give them direction. That's important. We need to seek guidance. We need to also get wise counsel and follow that wise counsel. And all of these things are things that can be of help to each of us. And every one of us have made major moves. Every one of us will make major moves. You younger kids probably haven't made any major ones yet, but you will one of these days, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries. But we need to be prepared for that. Now, if the Lord doesn't return soon, and I hope He does, but if He doesn't, we're going to face major decisions, and we need to take these things into consideration. These four things that Joseph did, he stopped and prayed, he moved slowly, and he sought guidance, and he accepted wise counsel. Those are four things that can be a big help to us. And if we'll remember that, it'll be a help to us in our major decisions as well.